What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted, the show that brings you professionals from all walks of life, touching on their backstory, their mindset, and how they navigate through adversity and opposition, while providing you practical tips that might help you on your path. I'm your host, two-time Olympian, Olympic bronze medalist, author, and motivational speaker, Hakeem Haynes. Now, let's get into the episode. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted. Before we get into the episode, if you could do me a favor, head to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Chartable.com, wherever it is that you can leave podcast ratings and review, and leave a rating and review of the show. This truly does go a long way in helping the show move forward. It would mean a lot to me. It would take less than 2 minutes, and it would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing and would truly mean a lot. So let's get into this week's episode. This week on the show, my guest, she's the Finnish national record holder in the 100-meter hurdles, an Olympian in the recent Olympic Games. She's a former sports journalist, which I'm sure she will come back to once she retires from the sport. She graduated summa cum laude in 2011 from Clemson University, and she doubled back and got her master's at St. Mary's University in London in 2013. A woman of many talents and skills. My guest this week is Anna Marie Corte, joins me on the show. Anna Marie's story has a lot of twists and turns in it from an early age. At the age of 14, she was battling a few different injuries. Usually when you get hurt and you have some nicks and knacks, especially when you're young, you're able to heal and recover very, very quickly, right? Because the body's still young, the bones are still young. So you just heal naturally a little bit quicker than as if you were a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, right? But that wasn't the case for Anna Marie. The pain didn't necessarily get better. It kind of got worse. In 2008, she wasn't even able to train for the sport that she had been doing since she was 14 years old. She couldn't even walk up the stairs because she couldn't lift her legs because of the back pain. Nor could she stand or sit for more than 5 minutes at a time without excruciating pain. By the end of the year, she had seen many different doctors, and they all sort of told her the same thing. Maybe you should do something else. In December of that same year, she found a doctor who wanted to try something new and different, and that doctor was able to help her get back to training and running again. Now, everyone thought things were seemingly going to get better, but then more things started to happen along the way. Anna Marie was actually forced to retire from the sport of track and field in 2012 before making her comeback in 2017. There's a lot that took place in between that. And we get into that as we get into the episode. So I want you to hear it from her. But in 2020, she won Finland's Athlete of the Year in Athletics and Comeback Athlete of the Year. In this episode, we get into what drew her to the sport of track and field, the internal feeling of hurdling. We also talk about what it was like battling with undiagnosed injuries from an early age. Talk about the frustration with the pain and many different doctors not being able to help her find the answers. We talk about how she lives with, and I'm probably going to butcher this, I'm going to say it very slowly, eosinophilic esophagitis and teeth syndrome. I know I butchered that, but she says it a lot better, and she goes into deep explanation about what exactly that is. So better to hear it from her. Then we talk about why she was forced to retire in 2012 and what made her come back in 2017. We talk about why she didn't quit, and we talk about what it was like breaking the national record and making the Olympic team after all of the years that she had to endure, all of the anxiety, all of the depression, all of the things that she faced and wanted to quit, but she found the strength to keep going. And we talk about so much more. And I mean, some stories in here that'll make you say, wait a minute, wait 1 minute. What did she just say? not an episode that you do not want to miss. But perhaps this episode can be summed up by what she says from a quote on her website. She says, "If you tell me I can't, I will show you I can. If you tell me that it's impossible, I will show you a miracle. Self-motivated and determined, I will never quit." Anna Marie's story isn't just a battle to get on the track, but more of a fight to live her day-to-day life. So with all that being said, enjoy this week's episode with Anna Marie Court.
Hi.
Anna Marie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. What's the weather over there like right now?
It is cold.
Oh man, it looks like Canada.
Yeah.
So when that happens, obviously you train indoors, right? How's training been this year? I saw you ran a couple 60s.
Yeah, I ran a couple of 60 hurdles and a couple of 60s. It's been good. Yeah, I've never been an indoor runner. I don't know what's about the winter or indoors. Like, I just, like, every time I try to start indoors, I tear a hamstring or something happens.
So, oh man. Yeah, we got to be careful then, Anna Marie. So first and foremost, thank you for your time today. I'm looking forward to our conversation. I start every episode the same. I believe in gratitude, and it's hard to, when you're thankful for the things in your life, it's hard to start the day off negative. So give me three things you're grateful for today, Anna Marie.
Okay. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. That's kind of rare for me. I'm grateful that everything is, like, for once, everything is good in my family, in my life. Like, I'm good. My family is good. Yeah. And I am grateful. I'm just grateful for everything right now. Like,
yeah,
everything's just good.
You know, and I think you have such a fascinating story to me, Anna Marie, because as you just said, things are good. You know, you're the record holder now for Finland. People see you on the big stages, but it wasn't always these good times, right? And so I believe in order to understand a person, you got to go back a little bit to get that backstory. Mm-hmm. So I hope I'm pronouncing it correct. Kirkkonummi, Finland. Did I say that right?
Kirkkonummi, yeah.
I was close. Yeah. But when I looked at the population, Anna Marie, wasn't really a big place, not like Helsinki, where there's a lot more people. So what was growing up in Kirkkonummi, Finland, like? What do you remember most about the young stages of your life?
Well, yeah, it's there, especially back then, it wasn't many people there. And like, it was like 2 miles to my school, 2 miles to my friends. I lived in the middle of nowhere. And so, yeah, even, like, to get to school, you have to, like, well, you could take the bus. They came, like, once or twice a day. Yeah. Or you could, like, bike. And so, yeah, and go to training. So I started track when I was 12, 11, 13.
Yeah.
But I had to go with the bike, the 2 miles. So, yeah, then when I was 14, when I actually started training, I had to go to Helsinki for training because we only had like these four little lanes of track. We didn't have any proper track. So, and not any indoor track. And, you know, most of the year in Finland, you have to train indoors.
Yeah.
So already when I was 14 years old, I had to start going to Helsinki to train. And, you know, in Finland, kids go everywhere by yourself. So I had to take a first bus, second bus, a metro, and a fourth bus to get to training. And it took like 2 hours.
Oh, wow. So 2 hours, like 2 hours there, 2 hours back, an hour each way. Okay.
Yeah. So
you had to be disciplined right away.
You had to be really determined to do it.
But I've heard you say this in a couple of interviews before. Track was a dream of yours, right? But what drew you to the sport, Anna Marie? Because from the outside looking in, you know, I know from my personal experience, I didn't really want to do track, right? I just didn't really see the fun in just running. But something draws you to it. What drew you to track and field?
Well, that's a I think it's an interesting story that, so I was bullied in school and I was really shy. Like I was afraid to talk to anybody. And I feel like when my friend asked me to try track, that was the first place where like nobody was bullying me and like place where I felt good and happy. And then, you know, I always lost every race when I was a kid. Like I was not talented at all. But then I started doing a little bit of hurdling. Well, first I did high jump and it was like first, I was like technically good right away. And that was the first things ever I was good at. So like in addition to not being bullied, I found something that I was actually good at. So it made it like a really great place for me.
It became like a getaway from reality, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what hurdles have always been for me. Like even now, it's always been like you get away from reality.
You know what, Annemarie? Sometimes the hurdles can be very intimidating. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you get there, like it, in any second you can fall and the race is done. But you may fall and you may hit your head on something. You may like it can be very intimidating. Why do you think, apart from the bullying aspect of it, what was the thing that when you step to the hurdle line, what does it make you feel? What does it make you think of? Like, is it a state of fearlessness? Or are you just like, man, I'm just used to this? What is that feeling when you do hurdle?
Well, when I'm actually running hurdles, I feel like I forget everything else. Like you, like hurdling requires so much focus. Like you have to put like 100% of your like mind into it. So every time you run hurdles, you can't think about anything else. So yeah, it makes me like forget about everything else. And it's so challenging, like you're never a perfect hurdler.
Annemarie, you know, it's early, you're talking about traveling back and forth, right? And it's being this place where it's like a solitude for you. You go and it relieves the strain, relieves the stress, and you can be free. But you go to this place to kind of be free, to get away from the stresses of life. And then you have some things that kind of hold you back that is out of your control. What age, Annemarie, did you start to feel pain in your body, right? Because this has been a big part of your story. And I think it's important to kind of just dive a little bit deeper into it because someone else may be going through the same similar situation and they may not be sure the signs of it. But what age did you kind of start feeling pain? Because it was pretty young from my understanding.
Yeah, well, my first like really bad injury was when I was 14. So I just started and I got my first really bad injury. And I got this really bad like back pain since I was 14. And it wasn't until I was 21 that I had a surgery to like fix it. So that was like a first experience with pain that lasted for a long time. And it prevented me from like sitting down or standing longer than 5 minutes.
Oh,
it
wow.
was so bad. Like I had to skip class in school because the pain was so bad. Some days I couldn't like get up from bed. But that was the start of it. Then when I was 17 or 18, I started getting like sick. I had a couple different diseases over the years. And yeah, so everything started early.
Were you worried about anything, right? Because when you're young, you don't really think about when something happens. You're just like, oh, I'm going to be good. In like 2 weeks, I'll recover from this. No big deal. But were you ever worried at any point, wondering what the heck it was?
No. So with like all the injuries that I had so many, I had many surgeries already when I was younger. I had so many injuries. With those, I never worried. I'm like, injuries and injury. It's going to get better. And with the two different diseases that I ended up having that started when, well, one started when I was 17, 18, one started when I was 22. And they were like, I had them both at the same time for a few years. With those, doctors didn't know for years what is wrong. I had a fever all the time. I had horrible pain all the time. Couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow food, things like this. And when it took doctors like years to actually figure out what's wrong, that's the only time I've been worried. And, you know, eventually, well, you know, I had to retire from track for the first time when I was 24.
Yeah.
And that's because of those diseases. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What
were those diseases?
One was, it's called eosinophilic esophagitis. It's allergic inflammation of the esophagus. So it causes you to be allergic to almost all food. And it like closes the esophagus. Like you have really bad pain when you're swallowing and pain in the stomach because it causes like inflammation everywhere and like cramps in the stomach and esophagus. Yeah, you can't swallow like solid food. Mm-hmm. Anytime you eat something you're allergic to, it might be next day you have a little fever and you can't swallow. And at one point it got so bad I couldn't swallow even like water for a while.
Wow.
Like nothing went down. And the pain was like so bad some days, like horrible stomach cramps or that lasted for hours. And the other disease I had is called Tietze syndrome. That's inflammation in the cartilage in the sternum.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's an inflammation that lasts like a few weeks and it goes away.
Yeah.
And it's not known like why it comes. It might come from some like virus or some impact on a sternum. But mine was chronic and it lasted 3.5 years and it causes pain that is identical to a heart attack.
Wow. So they mistreated it because they thought it was that.
It's often misdiagnosed as heart attack at first until they found out what it is. But for some reason, because I had these two diseases at the same time, like I get so many blood tests, biopsies, things, and all they see is inflammation. Like inflammation in the stomach, in the esophagus, in the sternum. So they were at the same time. That's why doctors were so confused. Like,
yeah.
There's this inflammation ever at the same time, but they couldn't like pinpoint the one disease and the other.
Wow.
So it took 9 years to diagnose the other disease and 3 years to diagnose the other one.
Wow, Anna Marie, the dream of track and field, you know, and you're dealing with all of this, so you probably couldn't be consistent with training. What was it like day to day when you went home, right? Because sometimes when you leave the place you're staying, you can get distracted by a lot of things and it can stimulate your mind. So it kind of, you know, takes away the thought of I'm feeling the pain and you distracted with someone else. But when you go home, right, it's just you, the parents and the pain. How were you coping with that? How were you dealing that? How were you staying encouraged to want to live?
Yeah. So when I was still trying to train until I was 24, until 2012, that was like the thing for me. I went to training. I was trying, you know, I had inflammation in my whole body. Like I can't really,
yeah.
I get injured all the time, can't really train, but it was still like the escape. So anytime I go to training, I'm still like, I look happy and then I go home and I might be just like crying from the pain. Same. Then I started working as a journalist when I retired from track.
Yeah.
2012, I was working for 4 years as a journalist. Even then, like I'm sick all the time and I might travel to these meets and I'm able to like show a happy face for a couple of days there. Then I go home and I'm in so much pain and I'm so tired that like, you know, I can't get up from bed. And yeah, for a long time, it was like that. Then, well, 2015, I think that was the worst year, 2014, 2015. And then it was months, like I was too tired, too much in pain to get up from bed. And at the end of 2015, I had to stay with my parents because, you know, I couldn't work then for a long time. I was an entrepreneur in Finland. Yes. You don't get any social security benefits if you're an entrepreneur.
You don't?
No.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So especially when you're starting entrepreneur, when you're like, you
building
made it,
yeah.
You're able to buy your own like insurance things. Yeah. But so like I wasn't able to work. I couldn't pay rent. Like I didn't have any money back then either since, you know, I can't work. I'm just sick at home. And, you know, this social security was so bad for entrepreneurs that, yeah. So back then, like the doctor still at that point didn't know what's wrong with me. And I was at home. I was too tired to like walk upstairs for a few months and I had fever all the time. That was when I I didn't like see how I'm gonna get better when doctors say like they don't know if I'm gonna get better, and I didn't know either if I was gonna get better. That I think that was the hardest few months, the hardest point. Like at one point, I thought like, what am I living for when I'm just, you know,
it's dead. Yeah, like it's probably so frustrating, Adam, where you're like, man, like I know something is wrong with me and I want to get better. But then you go to the people who are supposed to help you get better and kind of pinpoint it, and you still leave maybe even more confused than when you went in. But, you know, I've always been a firm believer that, you know, everything happens for a reason, even if we don't understand it, you know, because in life, if we understand everything that we're going through, it wouldn't be life. It wouldn't have that mystery of it. And the sense that you're still here on the other side of it, you know, it's a good testament of God's grace on your life, but also the perseverance that you have, right? Because when we look at when you stepped away from the sport, right? You had to go an alternative route. You went back to school, right? Graduated summa cum laude, all of that good stuff. You're finding different ways to continue to push through, get into your sports journalism. Things are going well, right? Steadiness, right? A little bit of income coming in. You got the pain, right? But the call of track is still like, it's still inside of you. You still see it. I want to go there, Anime, because I know Barcelona was a big part of that resurgence, even though you didn't really go there necessarily for that. You got pulled back to go back into the sport. So we go to Barcelona, Anna Marie. What was those times like, and how did you get back into the sport that you once had a dream of competing in? So,
yeah, after, so January 2016, like doctors had diagnosed like what's wrong with me. And as soon as it was diagnosed, I started getting better.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to move. It was like so stressful years. I just wanted to move somewhere warm by the beach.
Yes.
And just work like a regular job. Like I can go to work and leave and I don't have to think about the work. That's what I wanted to do. So first I moved to Lisbon in Portugal and then to Barcelona. And it wasn't until I was in, I had been in Barcelona for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so I found a track when first I found a track. My dog ran away at the beach, and I was chasing my dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
I had two little, like, mixed rescue dogs. But the other one follows me everywhere, and the other one just, like, runs away.
Free spirit. So, there's always one of them.
Yeah. So we were running, me and my other dog were running after this dog that was running away, and I found a track at the beach. And I was like, how nice is this track at the beach? Then I started thinking, like, maybe I could go, like, train there someday. And then it happened that one of my friends from the Netherlands, a decathlete, was coming for a weekend in Barcelona to train. And he asked me, just go try hurdles. And I was like, okay, why not? It's fun. Yeah. I had my last race was 5 years before that.
Wow.
And after my first time trying hurdles again, I was super slow, you know. I weighed more than 20 pounds more than now, and hadn't been running at all. So it was so much fun. I went, next time I went a week later, like by myself to run hurdles, just for fun.
Yeah.
And then I met some athletes who were representing FC Barcelona on track, and they just asked me to start training with them. And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, and then they also asked, like, if I would want to represent FC Barcelona, like, they would take me right away or sign me right away. I was like, that's so nice. Like, how cool is it to, you know, run for FC Barcelona? And yeah, that's how, at first I was thinking I'm just going to, because I was working 9 hours a day, I thought I'm going to start training like twice a week just for fun. But it was so much fun that then it turned into 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 5 times a week. And 2 months after, maybe 6 weeks after I started training again, I ran my first race.
Yeah.
And I ran better season opener than ever before after 6 weeks of training. You know, I wasn't fast then. I ran 13:80. My PB in my previous career was 13:5. So yeah, they were fast times, but the 13.8 was like, I've been training 6 weeks after 5 years and I'm running season best. Like, yeah, I should, continue. See
Yeah,
what
that.
I do. Like, I knew because I was always sick or injured, like I hadn't seen what I could do.
Yeah, and that was the little bit of progress that you needed to see that kind of gave you that confidence. But I gotta ask, Anne-Marie, like after you started training, right, what was the recovery process like? I mean, yes, you knew what was the diagnosis now, but it's still an intense, explosive sport where you can sit at times, but you got to stand to be able to go over the hurdles. So was your body reacting how you thought it would? Did it surprise you, or was it just regular day-to-day recovery?
No, so I feel like that was like why I knew I could improve so much is because as soon as I started, my body was like taking in a training that it hadn't done previously. Like I had been training hard before too, but I wasn't like progressing. And I think it's because I had some kind of inflammation in my body all the time. So when your body is inflamed, it's not going to take in the training or recover. And now I was healthy. And like every training, I was getting better and recovering well because first time in my life I was healthy.
NRA 2018 was an interesting year for you to say the least, right? World Championships the following year, which are in Doha. And as you know, track and field is not really a sport that you can go half in and expect to do great things. You had to go all the way in, but you had some setbacks that year, right? Walk me through that year for you because now you're back in it. Right, you dove in and you're seeing progress and you're gearing up for the following year, but life doesn't always go according to how we expected it to. And when you even think about it, your life hasn't always been like that, right? There's always been some detours and some things that you had to overcome and jump over in order to continue this path and this dream that you have. So walk me through that 2018 year on the track and some of the things that happened off of the track.
Spring 2017, I started training again after work. So until January 2018, I was like training. Well, I was working from 7 to 4, going to training from 6 to 9. And January 2018, first, I broke my foot. And then, like a few days later, I was wrapped. And
Robbed.
so
Robbed.
Barcelona is the capital of little robberies in the world, really.
You had no idea about that. Wow.
So I was robbed, and like all my money, my cards, my keys, everything that I had was stolen. And then like I had my address in that like a purse too, and they went to my house and like tried to steal my motorcycle, but were able to and broke it. So because of all of this, I started getting really bad anxiety and panic attacks. So I was like, I wasn't able to leave my house. I was just afraid to like go out, and I was on a sick leave from work for 3 months. But during the sick leave, like I wasn't really able to train because of the broken foot. But there was an indoor season going on, and I was like, I just want to go race because that's the only thing like on earth that makes me forget about all the bad things that's happening. Like only time the indoor 8 seconds is the only time I don't feel some anxiety.
Wow.
So I went to run some races on the weekends, and I was still improving. Like I ran my PB with the broken foot. After the few months of training. And then I was like, this is not gonna work that I'm gonna be like working 9 hours a day, sitting there and then going to training. Like I really wanna see what I can do as an athlete when I'm like training full time. So I decided to quit my job and move from Barcelona to Valencia in April 2018. And to be able to move, I was wrapped from everything I had. So I had to illegally rent my apartment in Barcelona in Airbnb to be able to pay for rent in Valencia and live somehow. Rents in Barcelona are 2 times as high as in Valencia, which is 3 hours south from Barcelona. So, and it's illegal. You get, I think it's like 30,000 fine if you get caught from renting Airbnb in Barcelona. But I was like willing to take the risk. I was willing to do like anything I can to be able to just train full time and see until the summer. I was like, we have European Championship in the summer. I'm sure like if I make it there, I'm gonna get some sponsors that I can train for next year. So yeah, I rented my apartment illegally and lived off of it. And so moved to Valencia, and as soon as I moved, well, I started training with my new coach there, and I got injured right away. I tore my quad 4 times in the first 2 months.
Oh yeah, I know that feeling. I tore mine too. I know that feeling.
Just happens all over again, always. Yeah, but then beginning of June, I started feeling okay, and I was able to train. And like a month later, I qualified for the European Championships.
Wow.
And I improved my PB a lot, even like the spring's training was not that great. Well, it was only a few weeks I was able to train, but it was still full time, like as I was working. And yeah, I improved my PB to 13.1 and qualified for the European Championships. And then I managed to get like one sponsor that I was like, okay, now I'm just gonna live off of this for the next year and start training full time. And yeah, I was living with like 100 euros, so it's like $100 to a month for the next year until 2019.
Henry,
So
you said a whole bunch of things that I hope people don't glance over, because you literally went all in. You were willing to risk everything to step out there for that dream. And it might seem crazy to people who have not taken that leap of faith, because it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always line up, but it's a feeling that you know, or you think is going to be the thing that comes together, Henry. But what gave you that sense of belief, right? Because you said, if I just make this team, I'll be able to get some sponsors. Yeah, it sounds good, right? But
nobody has believed in it except me.
what gave you that internal belief to say, you know what, I truly believe that if I do this, then things will line up the correct way. Where did that come from?
I think just, having such hard years earlier, like it just gave me this whole new like strength and belief in myself. Like I was like, if I'm able to get through all those things, and I saw like the little improvements I was making all the time, I was like, if I can just train healthy, like I know I can improve so much.
It's 1 year.
Yeah. And after, not really at one point, not really one, or I dreamed about being healthy at one point. Then
Just
it was one
day-to-day
point,
life, right?
yeah, just being able to do normal things, and at one point not, wanting to live really. And now like I just saw like this is my opportunity to like make my dreams come true. And after all the things that happened, it didn't seem like such a big risk to me. Like things can be so much worse.
Yeah, honestly, Anna Marie, just from listening to your story from your perspective, there is no way that you could lose in life because you've already won. This is all just extra. This is all just part of the perseverance and the consistency and the extra stuff, but the gift is life, but we go from 2018, 2019, massive year for you. Not only did you make that world championship team, Anna Marie, you broke the Finnish record, right? 2020, you make the Olympic team. Probably put together one of the most consistent seasons, probably for you to date. Obviously, the pandemic delayed the games, but that's a hell of a 2 years, Anna Marie. You like when you look back and you sit and think about it, even now that we're talking about it. What comes to mind? Like, what's that feeling? Because you made what many people, including doctors, thought was impossible. You showed them something different. What does that make you, when you reflect, what do you feel? What does that make you feel like and think?
Well, yeah, I fulfilled all my dreams that I ever had in those 2 years. And I have to make new ones now.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah, now, you know, I'm just really grateful now that all the things and even more that I ever dreamed of just came true. And, you know, I know it was because of my hard work and believing in myself. Like, I made those happen. So, I have to be proud of myself for actually making those things happen. But yeah, my biggest dream ever since I was little was to run hurdles under 13 seconds. I feel like that's like a, it's just a good, you know, almost like under 10 seconds, 100 meters.
Yeah.
A little easier, but still, for me, it was like the biggest dream. And 2019 first, that happened. Then like my PB before was 13.1. And then like July 2019, I broke the Finnish record. I ran 12.72. And like nobody ever would have thought that was possible, even like a few months earlier, even like a month earlier. And even a week before that happened, somebody asked me, like, is my goal to break the national record? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. But then, well, that was like a week and 2 days before. Then a week before I ran, okay. And then I was like, I'm going to do it. I even wrote on my phone a time that I'm going to run, that I'm going to break the record. I ran a little bit faster than I wrote, but it happened. Yeah, it took me many months after that to actually believe it happened. I think it was some kind of like, is it like imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah. So for months, I was like, it couldn't be me. Like, no, that wasn't me who did that. I looked at the video looking at it like, that can't be me.
Wow.
And it took me many months to like, I wasn't even like so happy about it. I was like, I felt really like empty. It's like all my dreams had come true and even more, but I felt really empty. I was like, I couldn't believe I did it. But yeah, it was amazing year. And I wish I could have enjoyed it more because I just felt like this couldn't be me. Like all these things that happened in my life, I'm used to everything being bad or like unfortunate things happening. And then like all these good things were happening to me and like, yeah, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's one of these challenges, right? Because, you know, I have those moments sometimes, especially, you know, coming up. It's like you can speak and say, you know, I expect to have great things into my life. I expect, you know, good things to happen to me. But when it does, when things haven't been going so well, you're not really sure how to cope with it or what to really think. Because it's like when you get it, you can't really enjoy it because it may leave the next day. And so you're kind of stuck in that middle of like, you want to be excited, but you don't really know how. And I think, Anna Marie, I think now is that time to enjoy it, right? Because not only have you earned it, but you persevered to get it. And it's an amazing thing to see because there's always more to the story behind the smile and behind the face. Anna Marie, I'm wishing you all of the success in the world, all of the blessings and guidance in every step of your way. Your story speaks volume and many might not be able to understand what you've been doing in order to get to this point, but it'll speak volume down the road. You know, many may not understand, but that's okay. It's not their dream. There's going to be someone listening to this, Anna Marie, and, you know, they may be going through a challenging time in their life, right?
I hope this can inspire someone, you know.
What is a message, Anna Marie, that you would share to give an encouragement to them, right? To help keep them afloat and to help them keep going, because you not only talk about it, but you literally lived it. What is the word of encouragement that you could share?
I think it's good to try to take everything bad that happens, just think about it's going to bring you something good after. It's going to make you stronger. And just, you know, you have to believe in yourself. Don't quit on your dreams. Just, yeah, do everything you can to make your dreams come true. And because that's, yeah, at one point they will.
And Marie, one last question before we wrap up here. What, I know you're allergic to a lot of different things. What does a day-to-day eating look like? Like, what things can you eat?
So I can eat rice. I can eat meats. and rice and cooked vegetables. So they have to be cooked. But it's pretty simple. But I think for athletes, it's a healthy diet for an athlete too. So
yeah,
keeps things simple.
Anne-Marie, thank you so much for your time. You've been generous. What's the best way for people to keep in contact with you to support? Because, you know, next year is another Olympic year. I'm assuming, you know, that may be the last one. Maybe you got one more in. Yeah. But what's the best way for people to support, to follow? And how do you say we'll see you next time in Finnish?
You can follow me on Instagram. You can put whatever it is, my name, because Anni-Marie KK, it's a little difficult. But yeah, and anybody, if you have any questions for me or just want to talk, you can always message me. I always answer to everybody. And what was I supposed to say in Finnish?
How do we say, we'll see you next time?
Nähdään ensi kerralla.
I was going to try it, but I think I'm going to leave that one out. Anne-Marie, So thank you so much for your time.
You.
Again, you know, you're anybody that listens to your story is not only going to feel inspired, but empowered, because you had all the reasons to give up and to quit and to not continue, but you found strength in different ways and how to keep going, Anne-Marie. So thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk a little bit later.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.